words out of your mouth impact your future? Does it really matter what you say? Today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland illustrate the power of the spoken word. Next, on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. We're Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. This is The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. This is the Abounding Grace broadcast.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
That's
amen.
Right.
Let's go back over here in 2 Corinthians. Father, we thank you today for your word. We receive concept from your heart, ideas and insights from you on your grace. And we thank you for it.
Lord,
we give you praise and we honor you in it in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen. Now, before we begin today, let's go back. Let's go back and pick up something here that we talked about all last week. You remember talking about the separation, the redemption. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse, being made a curse for us. Now, that goes right in with the grace that we talked about first part of this week. Now, redemption means to separate completely and totally. Take out of one, put it in another. Giving God thanks, who hath translated us or redeemed us. Who had translated us from darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. One scripture said we've been taken out of death into life, out of darkness into light, out of hate into love. That we're born into the son of his love. That's what redemption is. It's not just being forgiven. There's a whole lot more to them. That forgiving you was what happened when Jesus was raised from the dead. That happened on the cross. It happened when he's raised from the dead. Well, when you accepted it, it recreated your spirit. Now, I want to talk about this for a moment because we need to inject this in here. You are an integrated system. Back in the old days when I first started learning how to fly 50 years ago.
The old days.
Huh? Yeah, the old days. You know, I see pictures of that old stuff we were flying back then. It don't seem in my mind like it was is all that antiquated, you know. But compared to what we're flying now, my. If you had an autopilot, it would, with first ones, would just keep your wings low. And then they added the heading mode, so that when you engaged the autopilot and you engaged the heading mode, then you could take a knob and change the heading and the airplane would do it. Now we've got two systems integrated with one another. They're working together, keeping the wings low or turning them as you choose. Then they added altitude hold. Well, you could punch the heading button, and then you punch the altitude hold button. It would keep the altitude that where you set it, and you could fly it with the heading. Then they added the navigation mode. All of this stuff came as they worked them out. Now, the big airplanes already had this stuff before I came along in the 60s. But, or late 50s. I started in 59. But those of us that started out in the little airplanes, well, nobody's little airplane had this stuff, and we got it one step at a time. Then you could select the navigation mode, and it would track the navigation station, or you could reselect the heading mode, and it would track the heading that you have. So what are they doing? They're integrating systems so that it's working together. Well, now they don't call it an integrated autopilot anymore. It's integrated flight system. I mean, you can make this whole thing work to the point all the way down to where it will control the throttles when you land. Auto landing. No, thank you. I'll do it myself. Thank you very much. I ain't giving that machine all the fun. Let me do something.
No.
You know. Anyway, what you need to realize, you are a spirit. You have a soul inside your spirit made up of your mind, And your mind then is affected and involved in your will and your emotions and your physical body. Now, you have to separate them to study them. I had to learn what's happening to put them in the right place. Yeah, and you had to learn them one at a time. You couldn't just learn autopilot. You had to take it one step at a time and then put them together. Well, we are an integrated system. Every word you say affects your spirit and your soul and your body. Every thought you think affects your spirit and your soul and your body. You are one system functioning all the time. And if you take one system and put it out of place, it will suppress another. You can't just function just as one piece. Now, the spirit is what got born again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, in that spirit man is the soul, and that has to be renewed. It has to do with your mind, your thoughts. You have to change your way of thinking. Your will, your emotions don't have control of you anymore, and you're capable now of believing something that you can't see, something you can't feel, and it's in the Word of the Living God, and it's more real to you than what you can see and feel and touch, and so forth and so on. Now, the reason I said that is to take us into this area here. Let's go back and read that eighth chapter of 2 Corinthians. We're talking about abounding. Therefore, as you abound, this is seventh verse, as you abound in everything in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Now, just before the broadcast today, our staff looked up the word abound. And, I'm glad they did. Listen to this. To abound is to exist in great quantity. That's strong, isn't it? Well, just great quantity. To be rich and well supplied. If we abound in water, then we're rich and well supplied in water. Well, you have to add another element to that when you're studying what we're looking at. Abounding in faith. That means not only is faith in great quantity, because it's already been offered to you. God has given it to you by His grace. But as you develop in it, it's endless in its supply. You can't get it all. And I don't care. Throughout eternity, your faith will still be growing 10,000 years from today. It'll still be growing. Utterance will still be growing. Why? Because God is God, man. I'm telling you right now, you ain't never going to be bigger than Him. And you know why? Because if you used to catch up with Him, He'd just get bigger.
We're connected.
He's God. He'd just grow some more. Oh, man. And then on all these different things, utterance, knowledge, diligence, and in your love to us. But see that you abound in this grace also. What grace? Verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. You didn't get that. You wouldn't be sitting down anymore if you'd gotten that. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. Now, He said, abound in that grace. To be rich and well supplied. Abound to exist in great quantity. What, the money? No, the grace. The money will bow its knee to the grace. Now, if all you've got is money and you don't understand grace, the money will ruin you. Why? You'll get in debt. You do dumb, stupid things with it, and it'll get you in trouble. And even though you're not a fool, if you do what a fool does, you get a fool's reward. And the Bible said money ruineth the fool. So now, come on over here then, where we closed yesterday. And let me get Chief Holdem down here back in place. Praise the Lord. Now look, he said in verse 8 of chapter 9. Now this is based on what he just taught over there. You need to abound. You need to have a revelation of this in full supply, in great abundance. Why? Because it's not based on the economy of any nation.
That's
it's not an economy of a nation that can be based on it. And if it is, that nation will abound. And this nation used to be based on that and will be again. But when they got off of it and got on their own deal, and it just keeps imploding on itself. Now, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. All of it. Every grace He has.
Amen.
Wow. He redeemed us from the curse. We've been translated into the kingdom of the Most High God. We are the heirs of Christ Jesus. Whoa! He meets our needs, Gloria, according to His riches in glory. I'm glad we're outside. I guarantee you that. The inside, I couldn't hold me right now. This is what exploded in glory in me 40 years ago.
Every lack has just been wiped out, run over,
abundance.
Done away with. Amen.
Abundance. Now, abounding, this is abound to exist in great quantities, rich and well supplied. But abounding is when great quantity and riches and well supplied faith, utterance, knowledge, healing, all those things are abounding towards you. And more than you can see any way to use it. The context is there's been a flood and the river is abounding. It's out of its bounds.
Yeah.
It is abounding.
Yeah. Uncontained.
Now, the apostle said, I want you to abound in this grace also. That means they didn't know anything about it. Well, how much grace do you suppose we don't know about? Dear Lord, eternity ain't big enough to find out it all.
Because it's all in here.
It's all in here. Now, listen to this. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. No wonder He said that you are always having all sufficiency. Sufficiency to exist in great quantity. Sufficiency to be rich and well supplied. It's not based on the nation's economy. I don't care where you are in this. You can be a missionary in the darkest, deepest jungle on the face of the earth, and he'll turn the whole area into the Garden of Eden. If you just allow Him to do so and get an abounding revelation of His grace.
Amen.
He said all grace. Now, here's where last week and this week are going to come together.
Okay.
And we talked about that separation between the land of Goshen and the land of Egypt. And God said, I've put a sever between you. I've put a wall of separation. The devil said to God, does Job serve you for nothing? Have you not blessed him? Now we've hooked the blessing to this. Now we can see what God's process was all the time. You've set a wall around him. In other words, you've divided him and his wall around him and all that he has. And Satan couldn't get to him. God said that when that swarm of flies comes on Pharaoh and all his house and all of that, that he said, it'll not come on you. It'll not come on your family. It'll not come in the land of Goshen. And when death came on all the cattle of the Egyptians, he said, it'll not touch any cattle belonging to any Jew in this place. Any seed of Abraham, there was a wall there. Now, when we got born again, He took us out of this place and put us over here, and there's a wall there. We have been redeemed. That word redeemed means separated. Sanctified means separated. We have been sanctified unto God. We've been separated unto God. But now that wall will crumble in your life if you're operating by fear, because the spiritual force of fear will bring that curse on you, because fear is that curse functions on the force of fear. Fear will connect you to the spirit of fear, which is Satan.
That's right.
And faith will connect you to the spirit of faith, which is the Holy Ghost. Now, everything that is of God and the grace and the abundance and so forth is connected by faith. Well, what does that mean? Then you have to buy faith. Faith in what? Faith in His blood. That blood agreement that His blood ratified. I plead the blood means I stand on every word of that divine covenant, and Satan, by the Almighty Eternal God, you ain't crossing the line. Amen. So now, this is just so thrilling. It just thrills me just almost beyond my ability to function sometimes. He's able to make all grace abound toward you. Well, how do I receive that? It said He's able to make it. If He'd have said, well, He's just going to make all grace abound toward you, and that's the way. No, it's by faith. Faith activates it. Abraham's faith activated the blessing of Abraham, and it still does. You have to believe it. You have to change your mind to think the way He thinks, speak the way He speaks, act the way He acts,
regardless of what's happening,
and be obedient to Him, because He's leading you where the grace is abounding. Mm-hmm. Now,
that's right.
This is where it happens. How do I do it? How do I activate it? Let's go over to 1 Peter. Now, we've talked about this. We've read this, Gloria, and I've been operating in this ever since we've been in the ministry. I learned it, but I put it in operation for the first time, the first year of our ministry down in Beaumont, Texas, down when I was preaching for Hilton Sutton's dad, Dad Sutton.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when first time I ever put it in operation, and I've been using it ever since. I got into that meeting down there, Gloria, and man alive, here was a church that had several hundred people in it, and only two people came to the first morning service. And that night there was something like six, including Brother Sutton and Mrs. Sutton. And I thought, what am I going to do? If I ran an ad on every paper, the newspaper, wouldn't nobody know who it was. I'd just be worse off than I am now. Now, what am I going to do? And this is what the Lord led me to do. Now, notice this. In 1 Peter 5, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. That's verse 5. All of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. This is something you have to put on. You don't talk any other way. You don't think any other way. But I'm telling you this, it is so vital, and you can see why. Look at this scripture. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Hey, isn't grace what we're talking about here?
That's favor. God's favor, yeah.
Yeah, He's able to make all grace abound. Humble yourself. Humble yourself, therefore. It didn't say anything about God humbling me with some horrible, terrible situation. God brought this on you to humble you. Well, it didn't work, I guess. No, He said humble yourself. Make yourself subject. There's something here
subject
you have to do.
What God says.
Well, how do I humble myself? Is it humility for me to say, well, I'm just so no good? I guess God in His infinite wisdom, killed my dog and my fish starved. And I guess my children's next. Yeah, they are, but it ain't God. You're doing the same thing Job did through fear and lack of knowledge. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. And the reason you ask amiss is because you don't know anything about
prayer.
That's
the key. If you don't know what God says, how can you do it?
And you don't know how to pray it.
How can you humble yourself? It's
just like learning that autopilot. There's different manners of prayer. And you need to know how the rules that govern them and so forth. Anyway, so is it right for me to put myself down? That's not humility. It's self-debasement. So now look at this. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God doesn't mind a bit for you to be exalted. He doesn't want you exalting you because that's pride, and you can't do it without banging into him. It isn't that he set out to resist you. If he set out to resist you like that, there wouldn't be nothing left on you but a crazy spot. But when you run head on to the forces of God, you going crosswise of his laws, crosswise of his word, and you think you're being humble and you're being ignorant of his word, you keep running into resistance, you hit the wall of resistance because it's not working for you, it's working against you. And that resistance. Now, look at this. Here's how you do it. Casting all your care upon him because he cares for you.
Praise
now,
God.
Gloria, there's no way he could say for you to do that and then not accept that care when you cast
right.
it over on him, would he? That'd
no.
be unjust. Now, I want you to, I want to set this up before we get into it tomorrow. Notice he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace.
All favor.
All grace. He's able to make all grace abound towards you. Who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered or resisted him a while, you will be matured, you will be established, he will strengthen and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion.
To him be the glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's the way you receive the all grace. You cast the care over on him. Now, we're out of time, but let me throw this out here on the table, because here's where we want to pick it up tomorrow. My care is I can't pay these bills. That's my care. Oh, I've got to pay these bills. I've got to get three more jobs. That's pride talking, and you're resisting the grace that God's already given you. You're resisting this abounding. So what do? I cast the whole of my care over on him because he cares for me, and then I take that and I come down on the devil with it. There is a line of separation, Satan, between me and poverty and the grace that Jesus became poor that I might become rich is abounding in me. It's getting stronger in me every day. Praise God, my needs are met according to his riches and glory, and I don't have a care. I don't have a care.
What happened to your care?
I cast it over on Jesus.
Amen.
And I ain't
That's
taking
right.
it back.
No.
Now what happens? I have to resist the devil. I'm having to renew my mind. But as you do that, it settles you.
You're
as
believing,
you do
God.
That, it matures you. As you do that, all grace is beginning to abound and stuff starts happening that you didn't even know was going
to
happen.
It takes faith to roll your care.
Yeah, it does. You have to walk by faith in it, but you abound in faith.
That's right.
Then you start abounding in knowledge. And then you begin to bound in things that you didn't even know you could do.
True.
Then you start worrying, oh, God, I just wonder if this is going to work. No, you just dumped it. That's your mess. You just dumped
You're
it back
bounding now.
On him. So you just stopped right there. No. I'm clothed with it. Now, you look like to the world that you're irresponsible. No, I've done the most responsible thing there is to do. I have cast the care over on him.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
The cares of this world entering in choke the word. Well, I just cast it out. It's not in there anymore. And the word is abounding.
Oh, amen.
And we are out of time.
I know.
Gloria and I'll be back in just a moment.
Success. thrive, grow, increase, to prosper. Are you ready for a complete financial breakthrough? The key to being a part of God's financial system is to do your part. Step out in faith and receive what God has for you. It's our prayer that you experience true prosperity like never before, spirit, soul, and body. To accomplish this, we've created one of the most in-depth Bible-based resources Kenneth Copeland Ministries has ever made available on this subject. Introducing Lifeline's newest title, Your 10-Day Spiritual Action Plan for Complete Financial Breakthrough. Be prepared to fully engage with all the materials. Write in your workbook, speak the scriptures, pray the prayers, watch the videos, listen to the music, and take time to really absorb the teachings. Take a step of faith towards your financial breakthrough today.
Now, when that word said, after you have suffered a while, that's not talking about, oh, God, this hurts. Oh, no. It's not talking about physical suffering. Actually, that's a pretty weak translation, because he just got to say it, resist the devil. Yeah. So after you have resisted, well, how are you resisting him? Well, the main thing, you're going to have to resist the thoughts that keep telling you that you're so far behind financially, you'll never get out. You have to resist the thought of the pain. The pressure is really a better choice of words there. After you have resisted a while, make you perfect or mature you, establish you, strengthen you, settle you, praise God, and what else? Exalt you. Exalt you above that situation. God promised he took the care and he promised he'd do it. Now, that's the reason for these different products and tapes and CDs and DVDs and all that. A 10-day spiritual action plan for complete financial breakthrough. We developed this so that you could commit to 10 days and get in here. All of this is part of development, resisting, being exalted, changing your way of thinking, and I want you to know it'll change everything around you. So use the information that's on your screen right now and order this and commit to it. Take the time to do it get involved. Turn everything else off. Amen. Now, I got some good news here. In fact, Terry reminded me of this, that I need to tell you this. You know, I've known these kids all their lives, and I know the kind of calling that's on them. But every one of our children and all of our grandchildren are all called into the ministry. The anointing is on every one of them. And I'm telling you, there's anointings and strengths there that astound me. It's amazing. So, the Copeland Family Meetings in action. Praise God. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, August 27th through the 29th, Midwest Airlines Arena. Jeremy, Sarah, George, Terry, Kelly, Steve, and Marty. Praise God. Get in there, partners. Get in there and get involved. Amen. And that is a powerful move of the Holy Ghost. Jesus is Lord.